Hello and welcome to the show. This is Martin Willis, your host. Actually, I might not be the host. We really don't know what kind of show we're running tonight. I will tell you, it's entertaining. For those watching on YouTube, we're at a radio station in Exeter, New Hampshire, and we have all kinds of gadgets, and they should be working. And thanks for your help, Matt. And here we have, it's going to be a different show, so we are going to, I think we'll broach the topic of UFOs eventually. But we have Mac Maloney, and we have Juan Juan, and we have Commander Cobra in the corner, and myself. And Matt is just hanging out helping us when things start to smoke and burn and things like that. So welcome to the show, everyone.
Hello, Martin. How's it going?
This is going to be fun.
It is.
So this is also, it's going to air as Military X-Files as well.
Mm-hmm. Mac Maloney's Military X-Files, which is on about 7 or 8 networks across the country. KCOR in Las Vegas is really the best place, I think, to go. And Dark Matter Radio as well.
I think we're
not
sort of
the best place, but you know, the place that it's most accessible.
Wow. Right? Well, yeah. Let's promote everybody here.
Yeah. Well, this is on KGRA Radio right now and simulcast on YouTube. And it's also played on the Dark Matter Digital Network, and that's on Thursdays at 5 to 8, that specific time. And so we're going to broach the topic of UFOs. So we're kind of like cross-pollinating shows here.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, I can think of another
way
to do it.
It's like a bunch of bumblebees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, I'm looking at 3 drones. There's no doubt about it.
Thanks, Commander.
Excuse me, Martin. So,
yeah, there you go. All right. I said it's going to be entertaining. I want to tell everyone I went to the MUFON Symposium down in New Jersey at Cherry Hill this weekend. Had a really good time. I got stuck in traffic, however, for over 10 hours going from Boston to New Jersey, and I missed Luis Elizondo. But anyone can watch that on YouTube. The symposium is on YouTube, and you can watch him speak. It starts at about 1 hour and 8 minutes. You can check that out. Very interesting. I actually had a conversation with him for about a half an hour in the hallways. A real nice guy. We ended up having a lot of things in common as far as antiques and collecting and all that. So I might help him out with a little bit of appraisals. But, you know, the whole time I talked to him, the word UFO never came up.
Interesting.
Disappointing.
That is interesting. So I was all excited, though. I paid an extra ticket to do a one-on-one dinner with him.
Oh, wow.
And it was like a 7 o'clock at night or something like that. Well, I saw him on the phone during the day, and he kept going back on the phone and walking out, and walking around in circles and talking. Seemed like something was wrong. Next thing you know, he was gone. So he left for an emergency.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't happen.
Oh, wow.
But still, it was a great conference. I got to speak, interview a few people, and supporters of the show, the members podcast, has that podcast up. And I did get a great interview with the Ariel School's Selma Siddick. I had her once on the show. And when I had her
great
on the show,
by the way.
Thank you. When I had her the first time, she got contacted from all over the world, media companies and everything else.
Nice.
So this time, I think, was the best interview. Did you have Cobra, did you listen to the latest one?
Not the latest one, but the one you had when originally had her on.
The latest one's unbelievable because she actually talks about...
And thank you for sending me the link that you did, because I listened to it when I was supposed to be, you know, doing work. But
That's okay. No, can relax a little bit. So anyway, it was great because she actually talked about one of the questions, I think, and for the supporters that listen to this, she answers that, that I asked her... a question that someone posed to me. She did not get any type of telepathic message or anything like the other kids did, and which were interesting messages like take care of the earth and stuff like that.
Okay.
She had no message, and someone, nothing at all. And someone said to me, well, why don't you ask her why she thinks she didn't get one?
Okay.
It was a great question. She said, well, I'm not 100% sure. She said, I had to break my eye lock with this creature.
Wow.
And she said it was one of the hardest things she's ever done because she was worried about her sister and brother. So she broke her eye lock, and she said, I don't know. You know, she was exhausted afterwards, too, which I think is all fascinating. Do you know anything about that case? Any of you know a little bit
about
it?
Not much. Mostly what was kind of put out as the sensational news were, you know, the and very outlandish claims that were added to it, because when you do listen to their description, their kind of their debrief of what they put out,
yeah,
it's much more tangible. It's much more understandable what's going on. But I think that happens with almost every UFO case that comes on. There's a sensational side to it that everyone, you know, wants to talk about.
What did she? I have never heard of her. I have to confess.
She was one of the 62 school children at the Ariel School in Arua, South Africa, Zimbabwe. There was an encounter there where they saw like flashing lights, and they went out on their playground. And it was the only time there was no teachers out on the playground. It just happened to be that way. They were having a teachers' meeting. So either one being or multiple beings got out. If there were multiple, they looked exactly alike. And her description is fantastic, really. I mean, they had a pigment of skin that she's never could explain or seen before. Very large head, small in stature, large, very large black eyes, no noticeable nose. And a mouth. And so this thing was like, she was 4 feet away from it. 4 feet.
Wow.
And she was like eye locked with it, which is, to me, it gave me the goosebumps. So yeah, it's quite the encounter. Wow. And I think it's, you know, John Mack went in there right away and interviewed the kids. Okay. And
yep, from Harvard.
Yep.
He was the guy who did a lot of hypnosis on, you know, people who thought that they were abducted.
Right, lost time cases, missing time.
And he got killed in a car accident, right?
That's right. He was in London, and he was not used to left drivers.
Yep.
And so he looked the other way when he was crossing that part of the street.
Oh, wow.
A truck ran over.
Hit him, huh? Yeah. Oh.
The guy was intoxicated, but it still didn't matter.
That's why spray painted on the sidewalk for all non-folks look the other direction when you're
right. Is that right? Wow, yeah. Didn't work that time. He didn't see it, obviously. That's too bad. So for my show, I know this is going to be your show too, but can we give a little background one? Sure. And by the way, for YouTube, you can see we're all wearing sunglasses.
Right.
And the only reason I am is because I felt left out, so I went to the car and got my sunglasses.
I'm contractually obligated to introduce one.
Okay, go ahead. Okay? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, if not, you know, his people, you know.
He does talk, though, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay.
Endlessly.
So especially when provoked.
Yeah, all right.
I should say, hey, we're going to have quite a show for you tonight, but first I have to introduce the members of the posse, or the poussée, as they say in Paris, right?
That's right.
Okay, girls, get ready. Start fanning yourself. The very famous Juan is here.
Hello, everybody.
And what a special treat tonight, Mac, that you got to see Juan tonight.
Now you're stepping on his
control? I'm stepping on it tonight.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
He's always stepping on it.
Or in it. Okay, so Juan, you're
hello, everybody. I'm Juan.
Okay, you got all dressed up tonight for this special show.
He's wearing pants and everything.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Okay. It's a nice change.
Yeah. That's the beauty of an audio show.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, nobody knows you're naked in audio, but we're on YouTube Live. So
there you go.
Wow, this is a big treat for us.
Yeah,
what a special night.
So I got a haircut and everything.
Did you really?
And you're covering with your hat. Hey.
Yes, that's because I did eyeshadow and it came out kind of blurry.
Oh,
so
no, that's, you know,
interesting that you would wear a hat for eyeshadow, but obviously a psychologist would answer that.
Also, hey, listen, we have to make a big point of this, that Coco is actually in the studio with us. This is the first time since before Christmas, because I still have your Christmas present there, CC. But anyway, the very famous Commander Cobra is with us.
Good evening.
How about that?
One and all. And Martin, thank you very much.
And he's wearing his uniform, man. He's wearing his pilot's uniform.
Yes, well, but I would like to note that I am not wearing the intimidating helmet, which upset some of Martin's viewers on YouTube.
That's
so
true.
I will be taking plenty of email on the fact that I'm wearing the Ghost Rider AirCav ball cap tonight, which has a scary skeleton with cross swords behind it, but it's not the scary helmet.
You wore the helmet when you were on his show?
No, yes, when I was on his show.
Why would you wear a helmet?
Because it was the easier way to go with Commander Cobra, because he had me on the guest as Commander Cobra and introduced my flying career. Okay. I thought it was kind of understandable.
So you went with the helmet? Okay. All right.
And you have the helmet out in the Cessna outside, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about what the aircraft is outside.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's kind of close
top
hold.
Secret.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So are you done introducing everybody?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So let everyone know that, unfortunately, I can't take calls just because of the way that we had to run the Skype today. We're having the usual breaks we do, and that will be right at 6:25 Eastern Standard Time, and at 6:55 Eastern Standard Time. We're going to continue talking. And then later on, can you describe what's going to happen later on, Mac?
No, not really. One.
We make it up as we go along.
Yes.
We're going to have our friend.
We improvise.
We're going to have our buddy out in Battle Creek, Michigan, Switchblade Steve. He always brings. He always brings some good content to the show. Right. Something weird.
Switchblade Steve.
He is our Mothman expert, but
he's a Mothman expert. You know, we first dubbed him Switch.
Well, Stiletto Steve.
Stiletto Steve.
You know, and he put a bit of a stink up because he didn't see it as the knife. He saw it as the high heel shoe.
Yeah, that's Michigan. Right. That's right. You know, it's a high heel shoe.
So that was at least, what, two psychologists and one psychiatrist to get us all through that little crisis. So
then it morphed into sling blades.
No, sling blade.
Now, do you have to have some type of blade with you when you're Mothman hunting or something? Or?
I don't know. We just, he just needed a nickname. And when we said Stiletto, for about 3 or 4 weeks, he was kind of quiet on it. And then finally, he kind of broached the subject. He said, I don't know why I'm, you know, being labeled with a high heel shoe, you know? And we said, well, in Boston, it means a blade, you know, a knife, you know, a weapon.
So, Mac, you don't have a stage name nickname. Are you the...
He's the Mac.
Are you the one that is the giver of all nicknames?
We just kind of inherit nicknames out of the ether.
Well, in my case, I was Commander X back in the day when Mac was doing some shows on the Great KGRA.
You got sued.
We had a little trademark infringement when we went to the other part of it. So Mac had to very quickly come up with a name, and that's where Commander Cobra comes from, which is a play on my call sign, which we won't use on air. But as you know, that we've spoken about.
It's on the side of the Cessna, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Again, don't mention the name of the aircraft. Thank you so much.
Cessna.
We also are contractually obligated to salute Commander Cobra.
That's true.
At some point during the show.
Usually like 2 or 3 beers into the show, that's when they like to stand straight and tall before the man.
Men chocolate milk, not beers. Should we do it now? Get it over with?
Let's get it over with.
Okay. Ready?
Ready. All right.
Do I really have to do it?
Oh, everyone in the room has to do it. Yeah, ready? Call it off there, one.
Okay.
Well, okay. Well,
we got the engineer and the cameraman is standing up. This is excellent.
Here we go. 10.
Wow.
It's the first time I've ever done that.
Yeah, well, not the first time I've done it, but the first time I've seen him return the salute. Because you're in another room, Coco, usually, right?
Oh, I'm in another dimension, usually.
Yeah.
Well, you have to maintain the salute until it's returned.
Yeah. Hey, Martin, you wanted to come here. You know?
Yeah, I'm having fun.
Don't feed the animals and don't put your hands too far behind the bars. That's the only really rules you need to know.
So we are in, let's bring this up since it's a treat for me to be here in the town of Exeter. I don't know
if
anyone noticed.
Exeter.
Look at the t-shirt, see? Got the t-shirt special for this. I know there's no UFO on it or anything. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Incident Exeter. Have any of you had a show on that since you're right here?
Yeah, we've had 2 or 3 shows. We've had Kathy Marsden on.
Marden.
Yep. Okay. Very nice woman.
She is nice.
We've talked to a guy who is the head of the New Hampshire UFO Society, that musician there who, last time he was on, he wanted us not to run the segment. Who was that guy?
Yeah.
He was good.
He wanted you to,
He had such a good time. He said, it's priceless. Don't let anyone else hear it. So.
He's a musician, and he was just taking offense at some of the things we were saying to him about.
Like we are tonight? Yeah.
Well, we messed up his name a couple of times.
Yeah, we messed up his name. Okay.
I'd like the record to show that I was not on the show that night. I just...
Are you sure about
your credits removed?
No, there's no. We're talking Mac.
He was sanitized up.
Let's see. You said I could talk about this. By accident, I called Juan by his full name, and I solely apologize.
That's all right. I'm going to get all kinds of emails from people.
I know.
Actually, my name is pretty common. So, my name is pretty common out there. So,
yeah, but many people, this really bugs him. I know because he's telling me this off air.
Someone says we have double audio. Can someone in chat right now tell me, are you hearing the audio twice like an echo? It takes 30 seconds for this to go through.
How about Race? Maybe Race can tell us.
Race, are you there right now? He's stepped away.
Not a chance, right.
Okay. All right. No, we're all good to go. I don't know. Someone up there said they heard double audio. Okay.
It could just be talking over each other.
That's true.
We're not very well behaved.
Yeah. That's what it is. That we're talking over each other.
And it's early.
You're going to have to get used to it. Used to it. Yeah.
Okay. So, we've had a couple shows on the Exeter incident, you know, because it happened, I don't know, maybe 10 miles from here, Coco?
Under 10 miles. And I remember.
Kensington, actually, yeah.
My dad was my folks live in Massachusetts, and my dad was a huge interest in UFOs. I think that's what kind of led me to some of the interest that I've always had. And we were up here. Not too long ago, I was looking at 35mm Kodak slides that my dad has of me walking around the park there where some of the Ground Zero was.
You know, okay.
In the short pants.
You know? Really? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So there you go.
There's a comic design.
Are we doing a little ADDing here? Did we talk about who everyone is really yet? I don't think we went to one.
I introduced him, but you know, he's the IT guy and he's the kind of inside guy.
You're the inside guy.
Yeah. So what was we should do, Martin, to help keep this on some kind of a schedule?
Why? Okay.
Sorry. Well, with that attitude, I can correct that pretty quick. But Mac is the genius behind this, the writer of numerous books, fiction and nonfiction.
Please come.
One of these days, one will read one from cover to cover. We're all hopeful for that.
The review copy of his new book.
There is a new book that's getting ready to hit the streets. Did the forward to it. I think it's a tremendous effort. And it's it kind of reflects this radio show, if I could be so bold as to go on to that, is that Mac has done a lot of work that people have seen that they just don't realize. Travel Channel, lots of little vignettes that you would have that aren't commercials that would set up for another program or unique things. He took all that research and combined that in and made a program out of it. Excuse me, a book out of it based on all these parts and pieces. And I think it's going to be actually kind of a better than average kind of cool reader because I've always enjoyed what he writes. That's how we got to become friends.
See, Juan, that's how you kiss someone's ass. Okay?
I know.
Right.
I wrote a letter to him. I wrote a letter to him 23 years ago saying, if you're a pilot, I don't think you're a military pilot. You do some absolutely fantastic writing, but there's some stuff that you do drives me crazy.
I compared your book to like the Lost Lennon tracks and stuff like that. Did I not?
But no one can find it.
Hey, Mac, please don't say ass on my show.
Did I say ass?
I think you did. Yeah. Well, that's okay. No, I'm excited about that book. You do a great job. Mm-hmm. Your books are really, really good. The first book you did on UFOs.
UFOs in wartime.
That you said you'd never, ever do again.
That's correct.
On sale everywhere. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're kind of tough to do. Usually I write novels, you know, where you can just make it all up.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the nonfiction book, man, you have to get tons of research and all that jazz. And then
you still get criticized and all that stuff. Right?
Yeah. But this is just a collection of all the stuff that, you know, I had gathered over the years, all like little weird stories, ghost stories. Haunted airplanes, haunted ship. There's a kind of an angle to the military kind of strange things, weird battlefields and that kind of stuff, you know.
Now, who's going to haunt an airplane?
There's a lot of haunted men in England.
Especially in England. It's amazing. The crew members that have died on the aircraft, there seems to have a spirit kind of presence. Our friend Ross Sharp of the Sharper Edge, or the Cutting Edge with Ross Sharp, he's had some experiences. The funny part about when you talk about the Brits, who we'd like to salute, the Royal Air Force celebrating their 100th anniversary this year, and they had a huge royal tattoo this year for the air event. They don't have any problem just accommodating and talking about this. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is a haunted airfield.
And, you know, there's another one. Wow. You ask who would haunt an airplane. There was a...
Well, of course, the famous one in the States has to be the flight that crashed in Florida. And then parts of that airplane was redistributed out to the fleet,
if you can believe it,
of L-1011s that were
out
there.
They took parts crashed.
And people started seeing the crew on those airplanes.
And the flight engineer, they believe he was so duty-bound. In fact, it's a pretty famous movie. Ernest Borgnine played the part of the flight engineer.
Fabulous actor.
And he did a great job with that particular role, as he did most of them. First guest to fly with the Blue Angels was
really, yeah.
Borgnine.
Wow.
Small footnote. They think that because his imprint, every airplane that had a part of that came from that crash, he was seen on that. And then they removed all those parts in the fleet, and it stopped. And actually, two pilots in Boston went to basically a seance to help him go to the light. Wow. That's how
it's
that story.
It's a very creepy story, and there's a lot of evidence. Like people who were on these other flights worked with these people at some point, you know.
And they saw me.
Eastern Airlines, right?
I believe it was Eastern.
and they saw them again. They would see them at the end of the plane, and by the time they get down there, they were gone.
The quote that he made in one of his appearances was, "There'll never be another crash of one of these airplanes again," and there was not.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine Eastern Airlines actually taking the pilots from a crashed airplane?
It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. No, it's not unbelievable. It's not uncommon. It happens all the time. It happens with cars when they go to a salvage yard. There are parts that are not critical airframe structures. They can't use that stuff, but there's things like internal...
How much money does that save them, really?
It saves a ton of money.
Really? Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an ooh factor, though. I mean, an ooh.
Yeah, ooh is right. You got that right.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to know.
Never look inside the kitchen of a restaurant you like, gentlemen, if this is bothering you. That's all I have to say.
Oprah. That was a little speech.
I'm glad you have that little tambourine thing there.
That's
Someone's asking if we broke into this studio and this guy's some type of broadcaster.
Well, I was going to say, you didn't know quite what you were. Maybe you're a hostage here. You don't know.
I really don't. Okay. Yeah. And feel just, like I'm in some type of dimension.
Just continue to talk, Martin, as we talked before we came on the air.
The 2 hours will go by quick. You'll see.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. So, Exeter UFO. There's a conference here every year, and I know
there's
a festival here.
Right? It's coming up in September, right?
I got to call that guy. I have to. I'm going to make contact with him.
Well, let's go one bold step. If anyone from the Exeter UFO Festival is watching this show or hears it at a later date and time, we would be glad to hear from you. As in the past, Commander Cobra has had extreme difficulty out to anyone at this show to give Commander Cobra a day of time. Now, maybe because they saw me in the helmet, that's could be part of the reason. Tonight I'm wearing a ball cap like everyone else, so that we may have crossed that bridge. But we'd love to talk with Exeter.
I know the Kiwanis Club runs it, but it's tough to get a hold of them, too.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, we're going to get in touch with them. Okay, don't alienate them yet. Wait for us to do the show, so be a surprise. No, we're going to bridge of communication is soon to be complete, the M1.
Well, all right, we have about a minute, and we're going to be going into break in about just 1 minute or so. Mm-hmm. And as always, people that listen to my show, we're going to chit-chat. Well, I think we've done really nothing else but chit-chat, have we?
We've done chit-chat, yes, for sure.
We're not on any deep topic or anything. So
it's high-velocity chit-chat.
Yeah. So during the break on YouTube, you'll be able to listen to more of this, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Sure.
So we absolutely have no... we're just here to have a conversation, really. We really don't have anything planned or anything.
No.
Except for, once again... We have at the end of the show, we're going to have, you said, 10 questions for 1-1.
10 questions
for 1-1. How does that work exactly?
Well, we're on a bunch of networks, and one of them, you know, we send in the show at a certain length, and one of them, it has to be 7 minutes shorter than everyone else. So that means we have to do a segment that everyone else hears but this particular channel, you know. So we had to do a 7-minute segment every week. So we came up with this 10 questions for 1-1. Now it's been a rating bonanza for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
People are writing to me. People are sending in questions to ask him and so on. He used to ask me for the questions in advance, but you know that doesn't make any sense.
Funny-wise, right? Yeah.
So that's what we do. And then we have our national correspondent, Emily Mittermeier, call in, and she asks the questions and, you know, put a little music to it and bada-bing.
Yeah. And then it's a program.
And then
it was a whole program of nothing but 10 questions for 1-1.
Yeah, if you can believe that.
Pay attention, kids. If things aren't working out in college, there is a career in the broadcasting world.
Oh, so this show is like about nothing, right? Isn't that like Seinfeld or something?
Well, I'm not sure if we mention him or how much we have to pay. So we got to be very cautious when we start throwing around those
Sometimes numbers. It gets personal, so we have to be very careful.
Oh, okay.
That's when it gets funny. So, yeah, that's how we do.
That's where you can see us through the magic of radio. That's when it gets personal.
There you go.
Are you in my shot there, 1-1? I got a feeling that you're...
Hope not.
Well, hey, now, I'm going to ask this question because I don't have my... You know, I have to wear these glasses. I don't have my glasses. So now we actually do have 2 minutes left.
Okay.
So I'm going to just go around here and just say, Mac, have you ever had a UFO sighting?
No, I've had a couple real close ones. But no,
I haven't.
No.
Yeah.
Comprehends.
Everything that I've seen, I found out was a military related event. So, no, no one more open, and I've been in some of the most desolate places. Perfect opportunity, no luck, no dice.
You about to say something, Mac?
No, I was going to say that I think, and I've been of this belief for a long, long time, is that I think UFO. How should I put this? They only show themselves to certain people. I think only certain people have UFO sightings. And I think there's just something about those people that puts them in the right place at the right time. Because we talk about it, I've always thought, and I've read about UFOs since I was a kid, in the back of my mind, I've always thought, I'm never going to see one. It's almost like you know a little bit too much about them, you know? I don't think I'll ever see one. I've had a couple, most, you know, ones. I said, wow, this has to be it, and it turned out not to be, so.
Well, you know, I talked to one particular person. He's an old, long-time researcher. I talk about him quite a bit on the show. Actually, he's been on my show. Ray Stanford, he did, you know who he is. Now, Ray Stanford has had more sightings than anyone I've ever, really? I could no. ever believe. He actually has a feeling he's going to have one. And he always has his camera or video camera with him, always has for...
Where does he live?
The 60s. He's down in Maryland.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
If you said Las Vegas, I wouldn't have been surprised.
All right, looks like we're ready for the break here. And so this is Martin Willis, and I am with Juan Juan. I'm with Mac Maloney and Commander Cobra, and we are in KGRA Radio. And stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
All right, got a
timer?
Right,
4 minutes?
4 minutes. Aye, aye.
All right, phew, now we can really talk. Oh, Mac's gone. All right. We got three left.
And Mac did not take his remote mic with him, so we do not know what Mac is up to.
Yeah. All right, everyone, that's it for the free part of the show. Thanks so much. I have had a lot of fun, as you can probably tell. And the banter continues on, and you can listen to the full shows, including this one, for $2 or more a month or a one-time yearly subscription. All that information's on podcastufo.com on the menu bar under Support the Show. So thanks so much. We'll be back next week with Calvin Parker of the Pascagoula incident. Thank you, and remember to keep your eyes to the sky.